Good morning, everyone. Whoops. Nope, that's Dan. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It's usually me who still has his microphone muted when we come into worship this morning. It is good that we can gather and worship this morning. Announcements have been on the screens before you as you've been gathering this morning, so I hope you've had an opportunity to make note of those which are of most importance to you this week. As we move into summer, things get just a little bit more relaxed, but there are always little things, so always take a minute to view the screen as it flashes by you in the morning. And a special welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream this morning. It is good to welcome you from wherever you may be to worship here at St. John's. Following worship this morning, there will be a fellowship time, a luncheon, and time of visiting in McConnell Hall. So please, or sorry, Caldwell Hall. So please plan to stay for a time of fellowship following worship. And while we're on the topic of welcoming, a welcome to Minna, who is joining us for the summer. It is nice to have Minna back with us in worship for the next several weeks as Olivia is away taking part in opera workshops at the Banff School of Arts and Creativity, and then in a week-long workshop event in St. Andrews-by-the-Sea, New Brunswick. So she's going to see just about all the country this summer. And I'm sure when she returns, she will have wonderful stories to share with us. Next Sunday, I am going to be away conducting worship in St. Paul's Presbyterian Church, Hawkesbury, and Knox Presbyterian Church, Van Cleek Hill, as I take up my responsibilities as their interim moderator and preach the pulpit vacant. So I will not be with you this next week, but I leave you in the competent hands of the Reverend Colleen Galanders Adams, who will be leading worship here next week. Funeral arrangements for Bill Hope have been made. The visitation will be held tomorrow, Monday the 29th of June, from 2 p.m. to 4, and then from 6 to 8 at LaHaye Sullivan Funeral Home on 7th Street. And then the funeral will take place the following day, Tuesday the 30th. And the funeral will be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there will be an hour of visitation before the funeral. So if you don't make it tomorrow, you can see the family just prior to the service. And for elders, I announced last week we'll start looking at this in the fall, but it's never too early to start reading away as we equip new elders. We will equip all elders with a copy of Equipping Elders and move through it during the coming year. Those binders can be found in the anteroom to the Rennie Room, and you're free to pick one of those up at the end of worship this morning. And finally, I would like to invite Jennifer Adams to come forward and introduce the Massey family to our congregation this morning.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to extend a warm Canadian welcome to the Massey family. They're in the back row with Bob. It's been an exciting week as we... It's been an exciting week as we warmly welcome the family, Pastor John, Irene, and Joshua to Canada. They arrived in Ottawa on Wednesday, settled into their new apartment, and have already had the opportunity to meet some of the people in our congregation. We are delighted to have them with us, and we look forward to the journey ahead. I'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to everyone who has supported this endeavor. Over the past month, it's been a quick turnaround for us all. Your generous donations of furniture and financial contributions have been deeply appreciated. But even more so, the countless hours of time, hard work, and energy you have so willingly given. And you know who you are, the scrubbers and the movers and the furniture arrangers. And so a very special thanks goes to Bob Martin. He's my buddy in arms, Keppel and Michelle and all of our spouses who have patiently supported this effort over the past several weeks. Your dedication, your generosity and your teamwork have made this warm welcome possible. This morning, you'll have the opportunity to meet the family personally and welcome them over lunch as we also celebrate our high school graduate. We hope you'll take a few minutes to introduce yourself, extend a warm greeting, and help them feel at home in their new church family. Together, we have shown the true spirit of Christian hospitality and Canadian kindness. Welcome, Maasai family. We are so glad you're here with us.
Yes, welcome to you, and welcome to worship this morning. And as Jennifer said, a thank you to Jennifer and all of those who helped with preparing for their arrival. It is always a large and hectic few days as refugee folks are coming into the country, and we don't have a lot of warning in that regard. But we found an apartment and everything, so more or less settled, which is pretty good. And as we come into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in the light of his love. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. I would invite you to stand as you come into the presence of our Lord this morning. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord.
Proclaim your faithfulness to all generations.
Your steadfast love endures forever.
Your faithfulness is as high as the heavens.
Happy are those who sing your praise
and extol your righteousness all the day.
Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Merciful God, you listen to all our prayers, cries of joy and cries for help, shouts of frustration and speechless awe, wordless weeping and lengthy lament. Some of us wait decades for your response. Others sense it immediately. May we come to know your presence, even when you seem absent, and seek your unexpected responses. Embolden us to keep praying through dismay and disappointment, for the Holy Spirit speaks for us when we are unable to pray. Amen. And this morning's opening hymn is number 333 in the Book of Praise. I sing the Almighty Power of God, hymn 333.
Oh,
be seated. It is only by the power of God that we are able to stand against evil. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin as we come before God this morning. The prayer of confession is a unison prayer and will appear before you on the screens. O Lord, you taught us to love you and our neighbor, but we have not lived in right relationship or walked in the light of your love. Forgive us for the wrongs we have done. We know that the wages of sin is death, yet we trust in your gift of forgiveness, which freedom and life in Christ. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, hear this good news and believe. Your sins are forgiven by the mercy of Christ. Therefore, be at peace, for you have been freed from sin, that you may serve with righteousness to the glory and praise of God. Amen. And as God has forgiven us, we are encouraged to be forgiving of one another. Let us therefore share with one another a sign of the peace of Christ, and may the peace of Christ be with you all. In praise as we sing the hymn 641, One More Step Along the World I Go.
One more step along the world I go. One more.
This morning, our young people are going to stay where they are. I'm only going to invite one young person up this morning, and that's Roy. Come on up, Roy. And come stand by me. I'll give you this for in a second. Of course, we all know Roy, but for those who see us on the live stream every Sunday morning, Roy is the reason that you see the words. Roy has been a dedicated member of the tech team for the last 3 years, 4 years, something like that. He was much smaller when he started. But he's been a dedicated member of the team here almost every Sunday and is responsible for advancing the slides here in the church and for the folks who are at home being able to see those things as well. So that's who Roy is when he's here in church. This year, Roy is also a high school graduate. And so we asked Roy to come forward this morning so that we can congratulate him on his accomplishments in high school. So first of all, let's congratulations, Roy, on all your accomplishments. The graduation ceremony at Holy Trinity was on Thursday, and Roy assures me it was a good time because it was the last time, right? And would you tell us, what are you doing next?
My plans for next year is going to St. Lawrence for a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing.
So, thank you. So, we wish Roy all the best in that. And, of course, for the last couple, Roy's been a little scarce the last couple of weeks because Roy's been away doing stuff, getting ready for that, doing his first aid training and mask fitting and all of that stuff. So we're pleased to have him here. Usually I say to the graduates on this morning, wherever you may go, find yourself a church. You will always be warmly welcomed. Roy, you will always be warmly welcomed in the church where you're going to go study because it's the one where you grew up. So congratulations on your accomplishments in high school. We look forward to continuing to see you around from time to time in the year to come. And I'm going to let you carry that back to the sound desk as you go. Thank you very much. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, guide us by your Spirit of truth, that we may hear the word of life you speak to us today, and that we may give all glory, honor, and praise to your threefold name. Amen.
The Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 10. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of the little ones in the name of a disciple, I truly tell you, none of these will lose their reward. And reading from Psalm 89, I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, I've made a covenant with my chosen one. I've sworn to my servant David. I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God feared in the council of the holy ones, great and awesome above all who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is as mighty as you, O Lord? Your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule the raging sea when its waves rise. You still them. You crushed Rahab like a carcass. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it, you founded them. The north and the south, you created them. Tabor and Hermon joyously praise your name. You have a mighty arm, strong as your hand, high your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Happy are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. They exalt in your name all day long and extol your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor, our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 6, reading verses 12 to 23. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so that you obey their desires. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, who were slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become enslaved to righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to even more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what fruit did you then gain from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the fruit you have leads to sanctification, and the end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
My song forever shall record.
My song forever.
Please be seated. And we continue now to read from God's word as it is given in Psalm 89, beginning at the 19th verse and reading to the end of the psalm. Then you spoke in a vision to your faithful one and said, I have set the crown on one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him. My hand shall always remain with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not be humble. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Forever I will keep my steadfast love for him, and my covenant with him will stand forever. I will establish his line forever, and his throne as long as the heavens endure. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my ordinances, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with scourges. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once and for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His line shall continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. It shall be established forever like the moon, and endure an enduring witness to the skies. But now you have spurned and rejected him. You are full of wrath against his anointed. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown with the dust. You have broken through all the walls. You have laid his strongholds in ruins. All who pass by plunder him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. Moreover, you have turned your back on Moreover, you have turned back the edge of the sword, and you have not supported him in battle. You have removed the scepter from his hand and hurled his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with shame. How long, O Lord? How long will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what vanity you have created, all mortals. Who can live and never see death? Who can escape the power of Sheol? Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, O Lord, how your servant is taunted, how I bear in my bosom the insults of your peoples with which your enemies taunt. O Lord, with which they taunted the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We return this morning, once more, to our focus on dwelling in the Psalms for this year. Then this morning we look at Psalm 89, the psalm that you have just heard read. And this psalm has a little bit of everything just for you. Now, if you've been following along with us this year, you will recall that we have noted throughout this series of sermons on the Psalms that the Psalms are divided by scholars into different types. And Psalm 89 is a little bit of everything. You would be well within your rights as you listen to the first half of Psalm 89 to think that Psalm 89 falls in that larger classification known as the Psalms of Praise. It begins, as it does, with this great hymn of praise. Let me see if I can catch up to myself. There we go. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known his faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. The psalmist begins with this great affirmation of faith in his God. But he moves then from that liturgical statement to the praise of God and to his great works in all of creation. And then following his great works in all of creation, the psalmist moves again and he speaks of God establishing the great Davidic monarchy. He speaks about how God has sought out David and placed David upon his throne. So you might think, then, that it's an enthronement psalm, one of the psalms used at the coronation of the kings of Israel. That would seem logical, too. But then the psalm takes a turn. Beginning at verse 30, there is a series of verses that begin with the word if. And it's taken me a long time to figure this out. But just this year, I've started to think, when you see the word if, there may be trouble ahead. If David's children have forsaken the law and do not walk according to my rules. That's a troublesome verse. If they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments. As all good computer programmers will tell you, when there's an if, there's a then statement. Then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquities with stripes. And then the psalm goes on to speak of great calamity, war, destruction, and violation. And then those great words of lament. How long, O Lord? How long will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? And indeed, in that moment, we are led to the true purpose of Psalm 89. This is a psalm of lament. Psalm 89 is not a psalm in praise of the great Davidic monarchy as the enthronement psalms of the rest of the book of Psalms is, but rather it is written sometime after that event. It's written sometime in the 7th century before Christ, during the time of the exile. It's not a psalm in celebration of the Davidic kings, but rather it is a chronicle of their failings and their falling. So you would be excused if you misidentified the psalm and thought it was something that it was not. In worship, in the church, sometimes, you know, we do a really good job of just that. We do a really good job of taking the Psalms of Lament and just not reading the second half. So that it sounds like this, it's this wonderful and soaring and triumphant hymn of praise and adoration to our God. And we never wrestle with the realities of our human life. We never wrestle with the reality of the psalm and the pain that is being expressed within it. And yet, in so doing, we lose sight of the true value of these Psalms of Lament. Because hidden throughout the psalm, this psalm are the elements of the psalm that pulled this whole thing together, right? We said it's a little bit of this, it's a little bit of that. You get a little bit of the creation thrown in and God battling with the great sea monster. I mean, there's Hollywood movie stuff in this psalm. But what holds it all together, all of the praise, the enthronement, and the lament, are the statements about the nature of God himself. Every time the author of this psalm makes a change from one theme to another, from his song of praise to his song of creation to his song of enthronement and finally to his cries of lament, every time he makes one of those changes, he affirms one thing about the nature of God. That God is revealed to us in God's steadfast love and righteousness. Did you hear it? Throughout the entire psalm, it kept coming back to articulations of God's steadfast love and righteousness. At the end of that opening hymn of praise, you see these words. These words. For I said, steadfast love is built forever, and the heavens you will establish in your faithfulness. After that, in verse 14, righteousness and justice are foundations of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. And then verses 28 and 29. My steadfast love will keep you forever. My covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever and his throne from the days of the heavens. Faithfulness is hidden there in that I will establish his throne forever. And perhaps the most important articulation of this identity of God comes in verses 33 and 34. When God says, despite all that is happening and all the disobedience of the children of God, the psalmist affirms that God says, but I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false in my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the words that have gone forth from my mouth. Despite everything that has happened in the long history of the children of God, despite their disobedience, despite the fact that God's people will willingly turn their back upon him and follow other gods and other influences in their lives and neglect to live according to God's covenant law, God promises that he will not remove his steadfast love from them, and he will not be false in his promise to be faithful to them. Despite the fact that the people will trust in their own devices rather than trusting in the God who has brought them safe thus far and the God who will lead them forward, God's promise is that God will not violate the covenant established with God's people. And it is because of this, because of God's steadfast and dependable love, that we can indeed sing God's praises even in the times of lament. That verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 of this psalm make perfect sense even when you get to the end and the psalmist is crying, how long, O Lord? The psalmist can continue to sing God's praise because the psalmist knows that God will be faithful in his steadfast love and kindness to God's people. We can confess the goodness of God in the midst of the turmoil and the chaos of our lives, when the walls of our lives seem to be tumbling down around us, because we know that God remains steadfast in God's love and trustworthy to God's promises. We may not see it now. We may not see it in any particular moment when things look bleak, but we know that it is true. We are convinced that God is faithful. Let us therefore have hope in the good times and in the bad. For this one thing we know, that regardless of where we find ourselves, that God is with us, and that God will faithfully guide us through the troubles of this life. And for that, we can give thanks to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith for this morning is taken from the Living Faith document, chapter 7.3, which is on worship and speaks of our praise and our response to God's faithfulness. You are invited to join where it says all. The church lives to praise God. We have no higher calling than to offer the worship that belongs to God day by day, Sunday to Sunday. Through the preaching of the word and the celebration of the sacraments, in praise, prayer, teaching, and fellowship, God sustains the life of the church.
We worship God as Lord, offering ourselves as the servants of Christ, rejoicing that we have been brought from darkness to light.
Worship draws us into the work of Christ. Even now, he intercedes for the world to which he came and for which he died.
In union with him, the church prays for the healing and the salvation of the world.
Blessings and honor and glory and power be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, those who offer a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple will not lose their reward. Beloved, let us offer to God the gifts of our lives and our labors as we present our tithes and our offerings." Let us pray. Faithful God, we give you thanks that you have entrusted us with the gifts of hospitality and generosity, and you have set us free to be generous givers of the gifts you so freely give to us. May our offerings this day draw us closer to you as we share them with others for righteousness' sake. Amen. Once more, let us unite our voices, our hearts in prayer as we say together. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Steadfast God, you greet us as a loving parent and patiently love us beyond all measure. Your faithfulness endures throughout all generations. We give you thanks that we can gather in your presence this day and lift up our voice, trusting in your steadfast love and secure in the knowledge that you hear our petitions and reach out with your justice. We give you thanks for the church. Here in this place and around the world, may we uphold your vision of a just world where everyone has a place. Help us to exalt your name and to sing of your righteousness. We pray for the nations and for those who rule over them, that they may deal justly with their citizens and fulfill the gospel mandate of welcoming the stranger and those who are in need. We give you thanks that after many years of waiting, you have delivered the Massey family safely to Canada, and we pray that they will find hospitality and prosperity in our country. As we look ahead to Canada Day, instill in us a sense of vision of how our country may be a just nation and strive to be a reconciling force, both inside our nation with our First Nations and beyond our borders, uniting countries in a common purpose and understanding. We pray for all who suffer from sickness, hardship, or danger. May they know your presence and your peace this day. Especially, we hold up in prayer Bev Hope and the Hope family as they mourn the passing of Bill. We remember those who make their procession home to you this day and live eternally in the light of your countenance. Unite us in one unending song of praise to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We gather all our intercessions into one and present them to you with the offering of our lives as we seek to give you glory. Hear us now as we continue in prayer as Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we close our worship in praise this morning as we sing hymn 410, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You, hymn 410.
Thank you.
And as we have luncheon to follow, don't forget, luncheon in the Caldwell Hall in 3 minutes, 4 minutes, depends how long you can trip down the stairs. To allow folks to move straight to the table, we will give thanks for the food, and then I will say the benediction. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, we give you for every good gift that falls from your hand into our lives. And especially this day, we thank you for the food that we are about to eat. Bless it to our use and us to your service. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now let us go out into the world seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.